Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This morning, this is a verse of Scripture here that will explain something to some of us who have observed what we're going to read about here. Never were able to put our finger right on it. And for others, this is going to be a great exhortation and admonition, which is a warning, not to let this happen to us. Mark chapter 7, let's begin reading with verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Father, I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. This is such a profitable passage of Scripture. We ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may truly understand not only what's in here, but the application that your Holy Spirit desires to make with what's in this text. Help us to understand it, to get it, to follow it, to do it. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. In this particular passage of Scripture, just generally what's going on so you can get it is this. The Pharisees had come up with a tradition. And the tradition was, whenever you've been out touching anything, before you can eat your food, you have to wash hands. And then you can eat the food. That tradition became so much a practice among the Jews that they had forgotten about what the Bible said. Or, in some cases, the tradition went on and discussed other matters and replaced what the Word of God had said. And in this case, he laid it out for them. He said, there's a law in the Old Testament that if a young man or a young woman fails to honor mother and father, which is one of the commandments, then this child has to die the death. And I know that seems very cruel, but it does sort of solve the problem, doesn't it? And I mean, really and truly, if a child really believed that mom and dad would go to this extent, you know, that fear would eliminate a lot of trouble. And the Lord said, you know what, but you've taken that word away and you've come up with another thing you call Corban, which basically says when you got a bad kid like this, he can basically buy his way out of honoring his mother and father by giving him a sum of money and he can split and he doesn't have to do anything for him anymore. He said, that's not what I said at all. That's what you came up with. So this is a discussion in this particular passage of a comparison between the tradition of the elders, which was one thing, and God's Word, which was another thing, and on many cases, those were absolutely different. Now, I grew up in a religion, and in the religion that I grew up in, there was the Word of God, And then there's this tradition, and they said tradition is of equal authority with the Word of God. But the truth of the matter is, any time the Word of God contradicted the tradition, we always went with the tradition and not with the Word of God. So I have personal experience growing up with this religious attitude that we see in Mark chapter 7. But, you know, truly, if we just look at this passage and say, okay, now I understand it, let's go to the house, there's no application in our lives, because the question then comes up, how does this describe the world in which we live today? How does this describe what we're involved in right here in the church? How does this affect our lives? And the way it affects our lives is there's something that's nestled down in this passage of Scripture that identifies the root cause for the problem. You know, men are men, and they're always going to make rules. We live in a country now where, when I was young, we didn't have as many rules as we have today. Now there's an ordinance for everything. There's an ordinance for when you can take out your trash and when you can't, and what kind of signs you can put up and what you can't, when you can water your grass and when you can't. Plastic bag ordinance under consideration. I mean, it just infiltrates every walk of life. So we're familiar with ordinances and how men have to make certain rules. But when these rules contradict the Word of God, now you got a problem. The Pharisees put in a rule after the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said to the disciples, you know what? You guys can't preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, you know what? We ought to obey God rather than men. There was a conflict there, see, and they had to wrestle with that conflict. In this passage of Scripture, we find the root of the problem, and then we find the expression of that root problem in various areas of a person's life. And that's how we can glean something from this passage of Scripture that helps us personally today. Look in verse 6. And he says in verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips. Watch it, their heart is far from me. That's the root of the problem. Their heart is far from me. And when your heart goes far from God, or even begins to turn from God, even to a small degree, there are doctrines of men, there are traditions of men in place to pick up where you have strayed from the Lord and draw you further from the Lord. Let me say something before we go through and expound the text and look at some things that are affected by a heart drawn far from God, and look at and listen very carefully to me. You can be sitting here today making eye contact with me, basically behaving in the sense that you are conducting yourself in a way that everybody else would say, oh yeah, that's a fine person. And your heart can be very far from the Lord right now. Amen. In this room. And more than likely, the people whose hearts are far from the Lord here and are potentially affected by this are people who are young. And I'll show you how as we develop the text. First of all, when your heart goes far from God, it will affect your love. It will affect your love. Is not the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength? Isn't that the first commandment? And then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, look in verse 2. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and by this time he has done miracles that nobody else could have done if they weren't God manifest in the flesh. Verse 2, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say with unwashing hands, look at it, they found fault. When they saw Jesus coming with his disciples and they knew what Jesus could do, the least they could have been is like the devils. Every time Jesus showed up and devils were there, I mean, I say every time, but many times recorded in the Scripture, the person who's devil-possessed comes running up to Jesus, falls down and worships him, and who say, we know who thou art. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of God. And these Pharisees are standing over there. Here comes the miracle worker. Here comes the Messiah. Here comes the King of the Jews. And they're like, something else we found wrong with him. Look at that. His disciples ate and they didn't wash their hands after the tradition of the elders. And they found fault. You know what that is? That's somebody that didn't love God at all. It's an amazing thing how when your heart begins to go away from God and you come to church, all of a sudden the hymns don't mean anything to you and all the other stuff that goes on around here. You start finding fault with the person who brought you and you start finding fault with the things that go on. You know what it is? It's an indication that your heart is some degree away from God and it has affected your love. Now, I know that you say, well, you have to be here. You're the pastor. Yeah, and they have jokes about that, too. You know, about the kid that gets up in the morning or the guy that gets up in the morning and tells his mother, I don't want to go to church today. And she says, but you have to go. You're the pastor. Man, not only do I have to be here, I want to be here. I love what goes on here. I love the fellowship that I have with you. I love the fact that we get to praise God. I love the Lord. And that's an indication. Listen, if my heart begins to stray and I get to where this is drudgery and I don't want to be here, we're going to have some problems. And I've really got to get to God. It will affect your love. May I tell you something? You say, well, I know, but I don't need to start loving God till I'm 32 years old. No, you need to start loving God right now. Amen. No matter how young you are or how old you are, you need to love Him and you need to love Him all the time. I'll tell you something else that it affects. Look down here in verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God. Not only will it affect your love, it'll affect your obedience. Laying aside the commandment of God. You know, there are a lot of things in the Bible that the Bible says to do, and you know what happens? They become drudgery. Lay aside the commandments of God, and it'll affect your obedience. I've talked to a lot of young people who grew up in church and strayed and came back. I've talked to some people who are thinking about straying right now. It's an amazing thing. You know what happens to them? They look at this and they don't want to do it. They lay it aside. Or they'll say, yeah, but that's you know, you're using the Bible to have some control over my life or something like that. That's not the case at all. When I was a kid, we rode horseback. You know what I wanted the horse to do? I wanted the horse to obey me. And it's a strange thing, but the horse and I got along a lot better when the horse did what I wanted to do. When the horse really had its own mind and didn't want to do what I wanted to do, and it threw me, that I didn't like that at all. You know, the thought runs through your mind to do some very bad things to the horse. But you know, when a horse gets used to its rider and the least little impulses the horse cooperates with, that is the most pleasurable experience. I've been horseback riding over 6,000 feet up on the Pacific Crest Trail in the Cascades, looking at some of the most beautiful country in the United States of America on a horse that was absolutely so obedient, so trail savvy, just slack the reins and let him go. And the least little correction, the horse would respond. And they have to when you're going on some of the stuff we went on. It can be kind of scary. But I've been on horses, too, that didn't want to obey. You know what you do? You get your spurs and rake the horse, and you get a board and boom between the ears and jerk them around. It's not fun for the horse, and it's not fun for the rider. What am I saying? I'm saying to you this. God designed you and designed that Bible in such a way that when you obey what it says, you cannot find a place in which you'll be happier. Listen to what I said one more time. God designed you and designed that Bible so that when you obey what it says, you cannot be happier. And it's the absolute truth. I know it by what it says, but I know it by experience. He said, laying aside the commandment. I'll tell you right now, there's a gauge. People say, what's the barometer? What's the barometric pressure? Is it dropping? Are we experiencing low pressure? That's a gauge. Some of you have a thermometer and you look at it and you say, wow, it's 68 degrees this morning. First cool front. Woohoo! Wasn't that nice? I was out drinking tea in it this morning. I loved it. But let me tell you something. You have a gauge, you have a thermometer, you have a barometer in your spiritual life. I'll tell you what it is. It's this book right here. This is a Bible that I have here. Listen. Laying aside the commandment. Oh, that's my favorite show. That tells you a whole lot about where your heart is with God. When you can lay this aside and not heed what it says, your heart has already begun to depart from God. If that's the case, what you need to do is you need to get your heart in a place where this becomes savory again. It's the truth. When your heart goes far from God, it will affect your love, it will affect your obedience, it will affect your worship. Look at verse 6 and 7. He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, watch it, this people honoreth me with their lips. Look at verse 7 in the beginning, howbeit in vain do they worship me. They're worshiping him, but it's all lip service. It's all just coming from here. This is one of the most dangerous things, and I say for young people. Because you know what to say, you know how to say it, you know when to say it, and you know how to put on the front. How many of you grew up in church and played the game, and when you got to a certain age, let's say college age or somewhere around in there, strayed away from the Lord for a period of time and have at some point obviously come back? Yeah. My hand's in there with yours. I did that. And now I can look back and I can say, I can see more clearly because hindsight is 20/20. I was a hypocrite back then because I said something that made the people around me believe that I was closer to the Lord than I really was. You can play that game, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. Because once your heart begins to stray from God like that, and it affects your love, and it affects your obedience, and it affects your worship, it's just a matter of time before it takes you out completely. You say, what do I do about that? You've got to get your heart, what do we say, right with God? All that simply means is that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is in you when you get saved, and what you want to do is yield to that where the Lord can bring you back to the love of God. It doesn't do you any good to fake people out just so that mom and dad will continue to cook you breakfast, lunch, and supper. Or as some of us down here say, breakfast, dinner, and supper. You need to have to make that distinction. Like a friend of mine said, the only thing I never have for dinner is supper. Dinner's the noon meal. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you a lot of times what happens, kids. You are simply going through the motions until you can leave home. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't even know how far a heart like that's going to take you away from God. You have no idea how dangerous that territory is. But the Lord knows that it's just with your lips and not with your heart when that's what you're doing. You know what? You'd be better off to look your mother and father in the face, or mother or father, or however, or your preacher or your Sunday school teacher, and say, you know what? My heart is far from God, and I don't want to listen to you right now. You're better off doing that than you are to pretend. Because we can deal with honesty. We can't deal with hypocrisy, and neither could Jesus Christ. Listen, when your heart goes from God, it will affect your love, it will affect your obedience, it will affect your worship, it will affect, listen, it will affect your doctrine. Look at the last half of verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, watch it, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Paul said to Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, will turn away from the truth and heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Listen, when you go through your high school years here in church or your elementary and middle school years here in church as a hypocrite, and then you leave home to go to college, if you do, there are doctrines of men being taught in the college that will suck you up like a whirlpool and pull you completely away from God. I know when you sit here and listen to the sound of my voice, you do not believe that you could ever come to a place in your life where you would turn your back on God and say, I don't believe in Him. But I'm going to tell you something. Those doctrines are designed to do just that, and I know people today who already have. The doctrines of men, they are out there. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, you are to beware of philosophy and vain deceit and the rudiments of this world. I'll tell you what, those things are out there. Anything to give you something to replace the Word of God. He says it this way, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I can bear witness the doctrines of men took me when I was in business, because after all, we all have to make a living, don't we? And the doctrines of men have affected some of my children. And it's not always the same thing, and it's not always the same doctrine, it's not always the same teaching, it's not always the same rudiment, it's not always the same philosophy, but it's always the same root cause. Your heart was far from God. And the remedy is not to get rid of the colleges. They're going to go on and do what they do. That's not the remedy. The remedy is to fix your heart. Say, when? Now. Where? Here. Why? Because you cannot control where you go after your heart begins to stray from God. You're as erratic in your behavior as a hurricane, and just as dangerous to yourself and to your family. When your heart goes from God, it will affect your love, your obedience, your worship, your doctrine, and it will affect your faith. Look at verse 9. And he said unto them, full well, watch it, ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. Take you completely away from believing this book. I have sat down with children that grew up under godly influence in their home. They were raised in church, we say. Got saved at a young age and baptized. Participated in Sunday school. Memorized scripture. Won awards at camp. Went off to college with a heart far from God, came back in just a few years and have said to me personally, not viciously or angrily, but have said to me personally, that book is a fairy tale. That was written by men. Jesus Christ may have lived, but He's not the Son of God. You say, that couldn't happen. Yes, it can. And yes, it has, and yes, it will. You know, the sad thing about what's going on today is I am talking to people right now whose hearts are far from God, but because man looketh on the outward appearance and God looketh on the heart, you're not going to respond to what God is showing you in the Scripture right now, because you don't want anybody else to know that you're a hypocrite. But if you don't respond to God and allow Him to deal with your heart and bring you back to Him, there is somebody waiting just outside of that door with a doctrine to cause you to quit believing that this book is true. I visited with a fellow, his dad was an independent Baptist pastor. And he left home when he was 18 years old and he told his father on the way out, "I'm never coming back." His dad died, and many years later, this fella, I think he was 58 years old when he showed up at our church when we were pastoring in Beeville. "What are you doing here?" We got to visit, and he told me the whole story. You know, he was gone from God for 40 years. And I'm telling you, he left a patch of bad fence and bad road behind him for all the ruts and the ditches and all the fence he tore out trying to go some other way but God's way. He got back to church and we had some pretty good fellowship. But you know something? He never got back to full faith in this Bible. He was so messed up by what he had done over those years. His life never amounted to anything for the Lord after that. Even though he came back to church a little bit. Now, many of us, God didn't throw the vessel away, and we're actually able to do something for God. But I can't tell you how much that false doctrine will poison your mind and heart from God. Do you hear me? It will cause you to quit believing in Jesus Christ, quit believing God. There are today living, breathing children who have gotten saved that profess to be agnostics today, saying, "I don't even know God, not the God of the Bible." So that couldn't happen to me. Let me tell you, if your heart's gone from God, it's happening to you already. It's not gonna. It's happening. And you cannot let it go all the way with you. What's the conclusion of all this? You know what the conclusion of all this is? And this is the saddest part of the whole message. Verse 13. The conclusion of the whole matter. When your heart goes from God, it affects your love, your obedience, your worship, your doctrine, your faith. But worst of all, it makes the Word of God of none effect, verse 13. Making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered in many such like things you do. What does that mean? When your heart gets like this, the preacher's up here preaching, doing all that he can through the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God to get inside of your heart, and the Word of God is bouncing off of your head and your heart like you're made of brick and mortar. Saddest thing in the world, you have your greatest opportunity today for the Lord God to do something inside of your heart to rescue you from this hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and you're going to walk out of here and nothing's going to happen. That's tragic. This is your day of redemption, your day of salvation, your day for your heart to get back right with God, and you'll walk out and ho-hum, you know. I knew it. He went to 10 after 12. I knew it was going to be like that. Methodist beat us to lunch again today. It oughtn't be like that. It oughtn't to be like that. God be glorified if through the preaching of this, some of us who have seen it in the lives of our families have some understanding why it happened. But God be praised if somebody here today with a heart strained for God would come forward, get on this altar and say, "Not me, not anymore. I'm getting back in love with God, and I'm getting back in that book, and I'm going to obey Him, and I'm going to love Him, and I'm going to follow His doctrine, and I'm staying close to God. He's my greatest opportunity to make it through this life unscathed." And the last thing I want to be with God is a hypocrite. Amen? Amen. He doesn't like hypocrites. I don't guess that comes as any surprise to you. He called them blind guides, adulterous, generation of vipers and serpents. He doesn't like hypocrites. And you won't like the result of hypocrisy. Not when you have to look at yourself in the mirror 20 years from now and reflect back on this day when God reminds you that preacher tried to get a hold of your heart through the Scripture. I was working that day to get a hold of your heart, and all that happened is, boom, the Word of God had no effect because your heart was so far away. Let's pray. Father, I ask you please, in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, that these that are gathered here today will know how deeply and dearly I love them to tell them the truth of this Scripture. I am so thankful, Father, today that you allowed me, a broken vessel, to come back to you and live a life now, Father, before these people, and gladly say, I love you, and I love obeying you, and I love your doctrine, and I love your people. Father, I ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, three things. First of all, Father, help those of us who have seen this in our own lives, with our own children, with our own friends, now to have a better understanding and maybe know how to pray. Second thing I ask you to do, Father, please, is that if there's anyone here with a heart far from you, that they'll return favor and come close to you again and get away from these traditions of men. And the third thing I pray, Father, if there's somebody here without Christ today, that your Holy Spirit would let them know it's even worse than hypocrisy to not be saved. And I pray, Father, that they will stick around after the service and visit with us about how to be saved, that they may know you as their Lord and as their Savior. For we ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.